Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
What, me? Yeah, no, I'm fine. Cheers. It is Tuesday. Tuesday, the 17th of March in the year of our Lord, 2026. It has just ticked at 1 minute past eight in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Good. And you're the glorious band, the chosen few. You know who you are. You know who you are. The best among us. My band of brothers. And sisters. All right, should we just jump straight into it then? Should we have a look at what the corporate mainstream media is banging on about this morning? What that cabal of evil Fleet Street editors are trying to beam directly into your brain box, make you think it's important or not? What are they lying by omission about this morning? Should we have a look? Should we just have a look? No further ado, let's bow. Race to stop meningitis spreading and Donald's trumped. Doesn't mean he's done a fart. Is it? Donald's trumped. No? Okay, all right. It's a bit lowbrow, isn't it? Don't want to bring the tone down. Okay, Donald's trumped. Okay, the Telegraph. The Daily Telegraph. Let's get serious now. Race to stop meningitis spreading nationwide. Yeah. This is one of those poor victims. She's only an A-level student girl. Yeah, emergency measures after health bosses wait a day before warning of killer outbreak. Yeah, there's some suggestion that there was some sort of thing at Canterbury University, Kent University, some sort of event, and people are maybe sharing vapes. That's got something to do with it. I've got no idea if that's true or not. That's just what one or two of the reports have been saying. And that health bosses, whatever that really means, were sort of aware of this thing, but like left it a day before they sort of raised the alarm on some level. Now the authorities want to, health authorities need to try and trace, or want to try and trace, quite a few thousand people that were at like this particular event, this particular student union event. So there you go. There's a lot of the news this morning on the papers, on the front page of the papers anyway, is about this meningitis outbreak. Okay. Britain needs EU to help it grow again, claims Reeves. No, it doesn't. Oh, my God, no, it doesn't. They hold us back in every single way. Not just the bureaucracy and the red tape, but just, oh, my God. What kind of moron would you have to be? The type of person that just rejects reality. That just chooses ideology over reality. Britain needs EU to help grow again. No. No, we don't. It was a net, apart from anything else, to zoom out on the grandest scale, we were a net contributor to it. It took more money off us than we got from it. Simple as that, bottom line. And then as a trading bloc, we can still and do still trade with them. It's not like we don't trade with them. We don't need them to grow. There are all sorts of other stories in the news this morning, though, saying to Rachel Reeves, stop blaming Brexit for everything. There's a certain point, there's an old adage, I can't remember who said it, but, you know, there's the classic cliche of a new government comes into power and whatever's going wrong, whatever isn't perfect, goes well for them. They always blame the old government. Well, we inherited a dodgy situation from the last lot. You can only rely on that for so long. right? Bricks, it was quite a few years ago now. We've had quite a few years to get more trade deals in place and have done so and all sorts of things. Going to keep blaming Brexit for everything. There's a certain point where you can't keep blaming everything on something like that. There's another saying. I can't remember who it was. Someone quite profound, like Walt Whitman or something like that. I don't think it was Walt Whitman, but somebody like that said, at a certain age, you've got to stop blaming your parents for things. If you're in your 30s and your 40s, you're still blaming your parents. It's like, no, it's on you now, or whatever, you know. All right. You can't blame everything on Brexit constantly. Okay. The Ayatollah's son escaped death by popping into garden for a stroll. So apparently he was there in that compound that got hit. And if anyone saw the footage of it, I've played it loads. You could find it very easily if you haven't seen it. It was, that whole compound was blown to bits, wasn't it? Like it was hit by, three, four, five massive, massive explosions. The whole thing was turned to complete rubble, wasn't it? So if you were in that vicinity at all, yeah, you were lucky to escape death. Very, very lucky. So apparently the story is now coming out is that, it's sort of, 95% confirmed now that he was terribly wounded in that, whether he's in a coma and or lost a leg or not, is not confirmed, but it seems like, other than the Iranian regime themselves that are saying, no, he's fine, he's absolutely fine, other than them, it seems like he was wounded in that. And yeah, he escaped just by a happen chance to go for a stroll in the gardens. I mean, I've looked out, I've watched that bit of footage, and there's various buildings in the compound, isn't it? It's not just like one big, like UN building, there's various buildings. And in the middle, it looked like, more like in the middle, or between them are some gardens. But the whole thing was pounded, just exploded. So yeah, he was lucky. It's often the way with these things, isn't it? Serendipitous, the way history goes, the way life works, sliding doors. Tiny little details make all the difference in the world. I just happened to fancy a walk at that moment. Yeah, his wife and father are dead. And I think it's one of his kids as well. So, all right. Mandelson cashed in with £1.5 million shares sale. That's a story that we've mentioned it before, haven't we? Mandelson co-founded and ran a business, like a lobbying firm. Classic, right? He can't do anything else. What else has Mandelson really got? It's all he knows, right, isn't it? How to lobby, i.e. pressure and coerce people and bully them. I wouldn't say blackmail because I don't know. I don't want to formally accuse Peter Mandelson of anything like that, but just bully and coerce people at the highest level. Yeah, a lobbying firm. And, that lobbying firm when the police asked for all his emails and they just disappeared. That one. Oops, we accidentally deleted the servers or whatever it was. Oops. Yeah, that. And it's collapsed now. It imploded, of course, because without Mandelson being completely disgraced, it's not worth anything. The whole thing revolved around his personality, right, and his position. Oh, but he did manage to sell the shares for £1.5 million, though. You can only imagine, like, before it imploded, before his current disgrace. So he sort of knew it was coming. What a scumbag. Is there anything Mandelson has ever done which wasn't scummy? Really? Did he ever do something noble and just and righteous and good and altruistic, like, ever? Ever. Not that I'm aware of. His entire life was an exercise in dirty tricks, wasn't it? Isn't it? Trying to gain money and power and influence via any means possible. horrible little wretch of a man. What a wretch. Exactly the sort of person I wouldn't want in politics. I don't want anywhere near politics. Okay. Okay. Iran crisis to give Reeves £3 billion windfall. We'll see about that. We'll see about that. The Daily Mail saying that pretending it's not slop when it is. Elton John had a huddle with Brooklyn Beckham and Brooklyn Beckham's wife. The Mail's got the inside story. The Mail. Joke. It so desperately wants you to think that it's something better than, like, The Star or The Guardian, and it's not. The Mail Group. Who owns The Mail Group? Thousands told, get help now for meningitis risk. Race to trace anyone who went to Kent Club, like nightclub, student nightclub, over three nights as deadly outbreak hits university and three schools. Yeah, and that poor girl who died. Okay, so it's a lot of the front pages about the meningitis thing in Britain. They've decided in the senior editor boomer WhatsApp Facebook group, we can talk about meningitis today, yeah? Yeah, a little bit of Mandy. But don't mention Rothschild. Okay, The Star. Meningitis, victims, dad, we are beyond devastated. I mean, what can you say? What real commentary can I give you about that? The Star. A giant picture of some vacuous actor. Some other actor. Real classy. After he got his Oscar, went and got a burger. Classy. And the very, very unfortunate death of some poor innocent young girl from meningitis. Great. Thanks, The Star. Cheers for that. Great bit of news. Getting my news there. The Mirror. Two chumps who think they're important because they read somebody else's words. Starmer stays strong. Trump rant and PM says we won't be dragged into Iran war hell. That is a bit of the Iran story this morning. More fallout about between in the special relationship. Starmer sort of, as it says there, sort of kind of staying strong for once. Well, he's got the Islamic vote in Britain to worry about, hasn't he? He's more interested in that than Trump. Pretty simple, isn't it? The tragic meningitis outbreak, terror on campus, like a big queue of people at Canterbury want to get antibiotics. It's an infection, meningitis, just an infection. If you get antibiotics quick enough, I think, you survive it, unless you're already very weak or something. Or it works so quickly. Anyway, if you get treated quickly enough, should be fine. If you're already healthy, that is. Comorbidity is a different story. All right, The Sun. Again, The Sun report on that Brooklyn Beckham sat at a table with Elton John briefly. This young kid, this Arsenal kid, is a gooner. Harry. This 16-year-old's a gooner.
That can't be the word for it, surely.
Yeah, he's a gunner. He's a plays for Arsenal. He's 16. He plays for Arsenal Football Club, the Gunners, which means he's a gooner.
That's very unfortunate.
Apparently, he's really good. Well, he scored a goal in his debut. Was it his debut? I think it might have been his debut. Imagine that, being 16 and you play in the Premiership and score a goal. What? Man. Except before, wasn't Wayne Rooney 16? It's not entirely unheard of, but still. Imagine that, how good that would be. All right. We'll probably do a poll later, and 89% of you say you don't care about football. Probably will, actually. I don't care. I care less about football as the years go by. I really, really do. Okay. Mum's meningitis fears vapes spread killer bug. She says, she thinks. Is it she thinks or doctors? I think she thinks, yeah. And her daughter has got an e-cig. And she shared it at this particular nightclub place where they think the sort of patient zero was, or where the meningitis outbreak began. passing around a vape didn't help. Probably, it seems. I don't know, according to that report. All right. The Metro. Ooh. 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 The Metro. Ooh. Don't want. The US Prez, the President of the United States, isolated after Iran war threats. Donald Trumped. Again. It sounds like he did a fart in the past tense. Donald Trumped. But, all right. So it's just a story, basically, that the Donald wants more allies to get involved in it. I mean, the story's yesterday. It's like today, a little bit of a Groundhog Day. Yesterday, it was all about the Oscars and this sort of thing. And today's pretty much the exact same thing. Again, the cabal of editors didn't have anything particularly new other than the meningitis thing. Which is probably why they've gone with it so much, because there's not really fantastic movements in the Iran war. But, yeah, so it's the little thing says, NATO threat, a new broadside at Starmer as leaders refuse to send warships to face Iran strikes. So, yeah, the Donald wants... He called on China, France, the UK, and I think they asked Germany as well. And more or less all of them said no. Like NATO itself, is basically sort of saying no. That it's not our war. Well, the thing is, one of the things about this that is what I've said. I said it on the State of Politics we recorded yesterday. State of Politics. My other channel with Nate, Mr. H Reviews, was that the thing about how the Donald and the United States and Israel didn't really invite anyone else to the planning phase. Now one, you sort of don't necessarily blame them for that, just because of operational security. Could you trust, like the German or the UK government? Not to sort of leak information like that to anyone. Could you really trust them with like a super, super duper secret operation? Like they're going to hit the Ayatollah in his compound in the middle of Tehran any moment. As soon as they get the intelligence that he's there, they're going to do it. They're just waiting for that. Could you trust like the UK Foreign Office with that? Probably not, right? I mean, maybe the answer to that is no, but okay. All right, still. No one else was invited to the planning stage, and so they just did it. Like Starmer and I believe Macron and I guess the German leader found out about this, like everyone else on the news that Saturday morning. Okay, fair enough. If that's how you want to do it, if that's how you want to play it, the Pentagon, if that's how you want to do it, fine. But now you're asking them to send whole parts of their navy and stuff. And you've already been quite rude about it as well. Like when Starmer, a week ago or more, during the first week of it, sort of started talking about, or in the second week rather, started talking about sending ships. And Trump said, well, we don't need your ships after we've already won the war. And a number of barbs and jibes that Trump has sent Starmer's way. You remember we did that, we reported on last week that they had a telephone call at one point, I guess it would have been last week, and it was described as not being a cosy affair or not being a rosy affair or something, and that Trump wouldn't listen to Starmer when Starmer was trying to explain his position and why he's going to do what he's going to do. Trump just wouldn't let him speak or wasn't listening to it, refused to sort of listen to his reasoning. Now you're sort of trying to insist, or even threatening NATO. That was part of it. Trump was saying yesterday, or it was Sunday even, wasn't it, that it's not fair, it's not right that you, European countries, Britain, UK, France, UK, Germany, France, it's not really right that you're not just going to send loads of your fleet to the Gulf of Aden and the Persian Gulf, the Straits of Hormuz, because we, the United States, have spent loads of money on NATO to protect you. So you sort of owe us. I mean, do we? It's Israel's war. It's Netanyahu's war, isn't it? And the whole NATO project is just pure altruism from the United States because it cares about the security of Western Europe so much. Is it? Or is it always an exercise in global hegemony, from your point of view? Is it, you just spent loads of NATO over the decades just out of the goodness of your heart, was it? It's not so you could be like a de facto parent to us. Tell us what we can or can't do. Tell us what sorts of military and missiles and weapon systems we are or aren't allowed to have. Basically control and dominate us in various ways. Right, take NATO. Okay, right, take NATO funding away then. Do it, yeah. I don't care. Get rid of NATO. It destabilises the world, if anything. You're going to hold NATO as a sword of Damocles over us. You've got to do what Bibi and what I say now. Otherwise, we won't pay for NATO anymore. Don't pay for it then. Don't do it then. Don't worry about it. We'll look after ourselves like the old days. How about that? Calm down a bit, buddy. Yeah, I know. The Guardian. The Guardian. Ugh. The Guardian. Look, a woman who's got the ability to read other people's lines. There you go. You've got to pay attention to what she wears now, what she thinks and says. Because she stood in front of her, someone pointed a camera at her while she read someone else's words. Okay. PM vows UK will resist US pressure to join Iran war. All right, yeah. Bibi's war. They call it the oil war. Call it Bibi's war. Meningitis confirmed at university and schools. All right. The Independent. Same woman got given an award by a bunch of weirdos and wrongers in LA. So that's important. Freaks in LA give Irish freak an award. There you go. Not NATO's war. Quote, not NATO's war. Allies reject Trump's call for help in Straits of Hormuz. Germany and UK among countries unwilling to send warship as Keir Starmer warns Britain won't be drawn into the wider conflict, prompting the US president to say he was not happy that Royal Navy won't help patrol in vital oil route. Well, you started the war. Haven't you got giant fleets? Yeah, the Royal Navy is not up to snuff, and you've got multiple fleets. He wanted our aircraft carriers, or both our aircraft carriers. I saw Trump say that. He wanted, in the initial phase, he wanted both our aircraft carriers to go there. So he didn't tell us about it. And then the second it happened, the second Starmer finds out about it on TV, Donald's like, both your aircraft carriers there now. It's like, what? Who are you against? What? Who do you think you are? You're not actually the God Emperor. You're not actually a God Emperor. And haven't you got, like, 10 aircraft carriers at sea at any given time? Have you got something like 15 or 20 aircraft carriers and about 10 of which at any given moment are at sea, operational? But you need both our aircraft carriers there, do you? Do you? Couldn't you peel off half of the Atlantic fleet or Pacific fleet? And that's way bigger than the entire Royal Navy. But you need both our aircraft carriers there, do you? But you're not happy we didn't immediately jump. Netty manipulated you into a war, his war, and now we've got to send both our aircraft carriers there. Nah. Don't worry about it, mate. Don't worry about it. The eye paper. UK in talks on Royal Navy role in Gulf to end oil blockade. And a little blurb on the eye paper because it's quite good. UK preparing to step up involvement in Middle East, although PM insists it will, quote, not be drawn into a wider war, quote. Government working closely with US, France and Gulf states on plans to unblock key shipping channel. Britain already preparing to send mine-hunting ships to the Gulf and is stepping up production of Octopus interceptor drones. I guess they're the boat drones. To ready them for the Middle East. Trump says he's, quote, not happy, quote, with UK's level of support. In Trump's words, said, we spent a lot of money on NATO to protect you. Again, out of the goodness of your heart, was it? Really care about us being protected? Is that really the motivation for all of that? Is that what that was? Not an exercise in power. New Supreme Leader escaped death by seconds. So it's emerging, I think, about the Ayatollah. Just quickly, something about the Ayatollah. He is alive, but terribly wounded. That those reports are do seem to be what it is. The Times, the venerable Times. Can Michael B. Jordan save cinema? Nope. Trump turns fire on Starmer. Terrible, that's what Trump's words. It's terrible to refuse warships for golf. Is it? Maybe have a strategic plan and an off-ramp and an actual game plan and invite us to the planning stage then. Threat to end US military support for Ukraine. Good, do that. Yeah, do that. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Why do you keep giving that obviously corrupt little goblin man in Kiev billions of pounds? Yeah, do that. Yeah, cut off military support and money to them. Yes, please. Yeah, maybe it'll end that war quicker if you do that. PM vows not to be drawn into war. Well, good. It's the one thing. It's the one thing, you know. The one thing that Starmer's done thus far in government that I've sort of agreed with of any real note. Labour paid for a Rainer tax barrister. Health boss is too slow over meningitis alert. Okay, if you say so, the Times. The Financial Times. Rainer charm offensive seeks to lay investor worries to rest. That's Angela the Fridge Rainer. That's her name now. The Fridge. The Fridge charm offensive seeks to lay investor worries to rest. Labour hopeful. The bookies have her like the favourite at the moment. To replace Keir Starmer, to be the Prime Minister. I mean, she's still got an ongoing investigation into herself. So, I don't really know how or why. Unless that's cleared up very, very quickly, i.e. in the next month or so. But yeah, the bookies have Angela the Fridge Rainer as the favourite. Apparently, she's made noises now to city bosses, bankers, that she won't go hard left. Yeah, look, Labour hopeful courts city bosses. Promise made of no lurch to the left. Well, she's not got any strong ideology. She's not capable of... I honestly don't think that she's capable of having any sort of extreme ideology, like extreme leftist ideology. That would require having done some reading, wouldn't it? I don't think she's ever done that. I don't feel like she's very well read. Is that really, really arrogant and conceited? But I do feel like she's unlettered. I wonder if you asked her something sort of kind of serious, like kind of academic level, you know, something about the Austrian school or I don't know. Anything, something about actual Marxist-Leninism, or, you know, anything like that. You know, ask about Foucault or something. I don't know. Ask about Rousseau or something. Whether she would know what on earth you were talking about. Probably not, right? I would suspect she'd have no idea. Or ask her something about, something from the life of Keir Hardy. I don't know. All right, anyway. Starmer and allies reject Trump's call for warships. Okay, there we go. Again, the US Navy, why do they really need anyone else's warships? They've got loads. They've got loads and loads. It doesn't make sense to me why they would want or need a British or a French or even German like cruiser or frigate or destroyer or anything like that, or aircraft carrier. They've got loads. Like, probably the US, just the Pacific Fleet, is probably bigger probably, I don't know. I think it's bigger than the Royal Navy, the French Navy, and the German Navy all put together. Just the Pacific Fleet, just the US Pacific Fleet. They don't need anyone else's ships. All right, Manson made $1.5 million from advice firm. Advice firm. It's an advice firm. It's not a tentacle of something very, very dark and evil, Epstein-related, Ehud Barak, Nathaniel Rothschild-related. It's an advice firm. Okay. Anyway, he sold his shares before it collapsed, made $500,000. Dirty. Dirty. Yeah, before colleagues were wiped out. Yeah, right, yeah. Absolute cutthroat. The Expresso, it's a good paper. Look, some laughing buffoon. Laugh it up, clown, while the world burns. Okay. Labour accused of blaming our EU departure rather than accepting their failures. I had to read that two or three times this morning before. There should be a comma in there, shouldn't there? Labour accused of blaming our EU departure rather than accepting their failures. Stop pointing the finger at Brexit and fix economy. There we go, I said that earlier, didn't I, at the top of the show. You can't keep blaming things on stuff that happened years and years and years ago endlessly. The ball is now in your court, so make it work. All right, that's the front pages. Let's have a look at our poll this morning. What did we say on our poll? I honestly don't remember. We put, should the UK send warships to the Gulf? Okay. I think I've made it quite clear, haven't I, my position? I said no. Oh, okay, it's closer than I thought. So 32% of you say yes, 52% of you say no, and 16% say maybe. So it's a win for the no vote. But not resounding, not overwhelming. A big chunk of you, or like a third of you, basically, almost exactly, say we should. So there you go. All right. Still winning. But not resounding, is it? Not overwhelming. Although, as I always say, don't I? If it was a national referendum, you would claim a complete mandate for all time on the strength of that result. But yeah, a third of you. All right, I'll take that on board. A third of you. All right, let's have a look at the websites today. A couple of interesting stories, I thought, on the BBC. Oh, the US Embassy in Iraq, obviously in Baghdad, in the Green Zone in Baghdad, has been hit a couple of times. For a second time last night, was it? So Iran's definitely still got some munitions, isn't it? It may be running low, and even if the Pentagon and Hegseth are right to say they've taken out the vast majority of their ability, their capability to launch sort of medium, not truly medium, but like, you know, I was going to say medium range missiles. It's not a true medium range missile, would be still way, way further than Iran to Baghdad, but you know what I mean? Not super short range ones. So they can still launch stuff into Baghdad. There you go. That's got to be annoying for the Americans. A bit embarrassing, even. Yeah, there's another war going on in the world as well right now, and I'm not talking about Ukraine. I think it was literally the Friday before this war started. I think it was very shortly before the war started that Saturday morning. I think it was the Friday before. I did a little bit on the Bo Show, Breakfast with Bo, about how Pakistan and Afghanistan are just completely at war. Like, they both have just said that. Sort of their foreign ministers or their government spokesman said, we're completely at war with each other. It's a full-blown war, Pakistan and Afghanistan. Still going on. Completely gone by the wayside, hasn't it? As far as the corporate mainstream media is concerned. Well, this is at least now there is a story here about that. It's, as I said, I think yesterday, didn't I, that the corporate mainstream media can't keep up the tempo of just talking about Iran and nothing else. Other stories are now seeping in. Yeah, dozens killed after Afghan rehab center struck. So the Afghans say in the middle of Kabul, there was some big like drug rehab center where there was loads of druggies there trying to get better. And Pakistan hit it with a missile and killed loads of people. Dozens. Pakistan say it wasn't a drug rehabilitation center. It was some sort of, something to do with the Afghan military infrastructure in some way. So there you go. Just remember, Pakistan and Afghanistan are entirely at war with each other as well. Throw that on the pile. Not a million miles away. I mean, they've got a border with Iran, haven't they? It's all right there, the whole region. So basically, everything from the Khyber Pass to the Mediterranean is at war. Everything from India to the Lebanon, to the Mediterranean, is at war. Oh, but nothing happens. Nothing happens. What a cretinous view. That is, was, that nothing ever happens. Wake me up when something happens, bro. The nothing ever happens guy is undefeated. Is he? Oh, I don't understand the meme. When they say nothing ever happens, what they mean is anything short of a full nuclear war. Only that will count as something happening. More moronic way to view the world in not understanding reality properly. Nothing ever happens. You're right. All right, let's see. There was something in a couple of things in the mail online I thought was mildly interesting. The meningitis thing. Let's see, what was it? Oh, just this story about Putin. There's a whole story here. It's quite a long article. Because yesterday I reported, or was it at the end of last week? The story that Putin, the hidden hand of Putin, I think it was at the end of last week, the hidden hand of Putin is really controlling everything in Iran. It's all Putin. It's quite a long article here, and I did read it, but it's basically loads of conjecture saying, we think maybe this one analyst has said that maybe that happened. I mean, basically, they run down a whole list of things that maybe Russia has done and been involved in. But this line says, the full extent of Moscow's involvement remains unclear. I mean, that's it, though. That is sort of the bottom line on this. Yeah, maybe they've done all sorts of things, like supplied Iran with intelligence, supplied them with Iranian-designed but Russian-built drones. All sorts of stuff is possible. But at the moment, it remains unclear. So, I mean, we can say it, and maybe it's true, but it remains unclear. Here's a story I thought was interesting today about Gerry Adams' trial. Said ex-BBC reporter, or veteran Panorama reporter, tells High Court his open-mouthed that chutzpah of Gerry Adams denying IRA role. To anyone who's really young, I mean, Harry, you don't remember the Troubles at all, would you? It'd be the Good Friday Agreement was before you were born or something, I don't know. But
I mean, we had a couple lessons on it in history class.
Did they say that the English are evil?
Not in history, but in English we had like a whole thing about that. Yeah.
Oh, right. That on Bloody Sunday, evil English paratroopers just shot a load of completely innocent civilians dead for no reason, and that's like the only thing that ever happened in that. And
yeah.
Okay, don't look into the Warren Point massacre. Don't look into that one though. Warren Point. Just evil English people just murder Irish people for no reason. That's the story of the Troubles. That's all you need to know. No, of course not. No, so the IRA, or the Provisional IRA, did a massive campaign of bombing, of actually killing innocent civilians. The Arndale Centre in Manchester. Just blow that up. Oh, just shoot, just launch a mortar shell into the back garden of number 10 Downing Street. Just shoot a shoulder mounted like rocket propelled grenade into the MI6 building in the middle of London. Blow up loads of things, loads of civilian things. Loads of completely innocent people killed. All the time. Okay, let's read a bit of this. I talked about it the other day, didn't I? For anyone who like, sort of may not really know. It's such a long story that... just very, very quickly then, you've got Sinn Féin, the political party, and the IRA, or the Provisional IRA, as the actual militant wing, paramilitary wing. That Gerry Adams was the leader of Sinn Féin and claimed he never, ever, ever had anything to do with the actual paramilitary side. Okay. Gerry Adams has spectacularly deluded himself. That's a quote, spectacularly deluded himself, by continuing to deny he ever held a leading role in the IRA, a veteran BBC journalist told the High Court today. John Ware, Gerry Adams has been taken to court in London by three people that survived some of the bombings. They're claiming it's a civil case. They're claiming £1 of compensation. It's not about actual money or sending Gerry Adams to jail. It's about, you know, letting the record of history show that he was, in fact, a senior member of the IRA, if not calling the shots largely during a certain period of time. John Ware, that's the journalist, who worked for the BBC's flagship investigative series, Panorama, and has made documentaries for other channels, said it would be a travesty if history recorded that Adams was never a member of the paramilitary group. The former Sinn Féin president, 77, is being sued for, vindictory damages, quote, of just £1 by three survivors of IRA bombings on the British mainland between 1973 and 1996. He has always denied being a member of the IRA. The claimants in the civil trial allege that, due to his leading role in the terror group, Adams was, quote, directly responsible, quote, for the attacks. The trial has heard evidence from former soldiers and police officers involved in intelligence gathering in Northern Ireland during the Troubles. A former IRA member and the family of an IRA murder victim who met with Adams, who all claim he was a senior IRA figure and even the group's, quote, de facto leader, quote. In a written witness statement, Mr. Ware, who has reported on the Troubles for 50 years and interviewed Adams on at least two occasions, said he wasn't sure whether Adams has, quote, persuaded himself that he wasn't in the Provisional IRA by virtue of his strategic and leadership role, as opposed to being the person who pulled the trigger or planted the bombs, quote. Of his continued denials, he, the BBC journalist, Panorama journalist, added, quote, the rest of us are metaphorically open-mouthed at his chutzpah, given the sheer weight of evidence from his colleagues, comrades and other sources, end quote. It's a picture of Gerry Adams there. Gerry Adams, who claimed he only wanted a united Ireland by peaceful means, had nothing to do with any violence. The court heard Mr. Ware, 78, made a 1993 ITV documentary about Adams entitled The Honourable Member for West Belfast. At the time, Adams had just been elected as the abstentionist Sinn Féin MP for the constituency. He said that he interviewed IRA figures who had known Adams from when he allegedly joined the IRA at the age of 16, and they wanted to speak because of his constant denialism. And then it's another quote. The principal motivation for many provisional IRA interviewees was their complete and utter astonishment at Adams' brazen, unequivocal and unambiguous denial of his role in the Provisional IRA, he said. It clearly grated with many of them that when Adams said that he strongly supported the armed struggle, his denial of actual IRA membership allowed him to avoid taking personal responsibility for their actions. He added, Adams seemingly elevated himself to a higher moral plane than the IRA when it was they who were sacrificing life and limb, as they would see it, for a cause Adams was leading. In short, they saw Adams's denial of IRA membership as insufferably hypocritical. So the actual IRA are annoyed with Adams on some level, Gerry Adams, for denying it. It's like, we put everything on the line. We're doing everything for you, in aid of you. You're the leader of thing, and you won't even admit to being one of us. One of us. Obviously, Gerry Adams was doing that for political reasons. But even now, or at the time, but certainly now, a lot of them are saying, like, it's time to just... Aren't you proud of what you did, of leading that movement? You're still going to deny it. All right. When it comes to suggestion... When it was suggested by Adams's barrister, Edward Craven KC, that his client was never in the IRA, Mr. Ware, who left the BBC in 2012, said, quote, "It would be a travesty if that is how history recorded Mr. Adams's role in the conflict." He also added, "As I have said, and said to Gerry himself, there is no question he played a seminal role in bringing the conflict to an end, but he also played a seminal role in starting it." Mr. Ware also claimed that the sources had told him that the 1979 IRA member of Lord Mountbatten, a second cousin of Queen Elizabeth II, could not have been carried out without his approval. Lord Mountbatten, a World War II hero, basically. Old man by that point, went out on a boat with a couple of other members of his family, I believe, one little old lady in his family, and it had an IRA bomb in it and blew it up, blew them all up. One of Margaret Thatcher's, who's it, Airy Neave, one of Margaret Thatcher's closest advisors, they put a bomb in his car, and as he was driving out of Parliament, it blew up. He was literally like, there's like an underground car park right in next to Parliament. And as he was driving up that ramp, like inside the Parliament compound, inside the gates, blew both his legs off, killed him, died. Gerry Adams, don't know nothing about that. Don't know nothing about that. Nothing to do with that. That was other people. I'm just Sinn Féin. I support their actions from afar, says Gerry Adams. Okay. So that quote where it said he misses out, he helped end the conflict, he also helped started it. Gerry Adams has been a significant figure in the conflict and helped end it, but also misses out the case that he also started it. That is the missing bit, and I think it's important history should record that as the objective truth. The court also heard yesterday from retired British Army Brigadier Ian Lyles, who served numerous tours of Northern Ireland from the 1970s. He said he had been privy to high-grade intelligence, quote, high-grade intelligence, which suggested former Northern Ireland Deputy Minister Martin McGuinness, the late Martin McGuinness, they made the Queen shake his hand. Martin McGuinness, who may well allegedly have been behind the murder of members of her family, but Tony Blair said the troubles were over and there's a Good Friday Agreement now, and now the Queen needs to shake Martin McGuinness's hand. That Martin McGuinness was involved in the day-to-day operations of the IRA while sitting on the Army Council, whereas Adams was the director who ordered others to do the dirty work. Oh, St. Patrick's Day, by the way, today. It is St. Patrick's Day today. He added, "I don't know if Adams has started to believe his own story that he wasn't in the Provisional IRA, but to me it looks like the only person who thinks that Adams wasn't in the Provisional IRA is Adams." There you go. Adams is being sued by John Clark, a victim of the Old Bailey attack in 1973, Jonathan Ganesh, who was injured in the 1996 attack on the Docklands, and Barry Laycock, who was injured in the attack on Manchester's Arndale shopping centre in the same year. Adams denies any involvement in the bombings and membership of the IRA. The trial continues. All right, there you go. Gerry Adams didn't do nothing. All right, it's now 10:02. Oh, spent a bit of time on that. Should we do this day in history? Let's pop on to this day in history. What happened on this day in history? I like that section. You like this section. On March the 17th, down through the centuries, what happened of note? Oh, as I said, St. Paddy's Day. St. Patrick, a real historical figure. On this day, in the year 432, AD. So like the late Roman period, the Romans had left the generation or so, maybe two generations, about a generation after the Romans had left Britain. So still a heavily Romanized society, actually. St. Patrick is captured, well, it says that, at age 16, is captured by Irish pirates from his home in Great Britain and taken as a slave to Ireland. Yeah, his father was like a preacher or a priest in some way. And he went on to become a holy man in orders. And, yeah, the story is that he exiled all the snakes from Ireland. There's no snakes in Ireland, apparently. Are there not even adders? Are there really no snakes in Ireland? I know it's not like a snake-heavy part of the world. I get that. Just as mainland Britain is very few. But we still have, I wonder if they have even adders. Anyway. Does Ireland actually have no snakes? Anyway, the part of the story is it that St. Patrick, we brought them Christianity. All right, okay, St. Patrick. Half lost to the mists of time. That is the so-called Dark Age, really, isn't it? The 5th century. 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th century. Sort of a dark age in terms of our, in terms of literary sources, if nothing else. There is a source from St. Patrick himself, isn't there? And there's like things like the Venerable Bede. A bit later, you start getting the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, various things, but the light of history, the wick of history is turned down during those centuries. So we've got less information. Okay, on this day in 1861, Italy is unified into a single kingdom under Victor Emmanuel following the campaigns led by Garibaldi. Yeah, so you might think that's quite late, mightn't you? You might think, oh, what? Italy as a modern, as the modern political entity of Italy only goes back to the 1860s, yeah. Same with Germany. Germany's even later, isn't it? Yeah, because Giuseppe Garibaldi won loads of campaigns, particularly in the south of Italy. And Victor Emmanuel, the king, was able to unify a bunch of central and central and northern Italian principalities. Sort of all came together in that generation. Of course, we're after Napoleon, right? So, yeah. Victor Emmanuel and Garibaldi unifying Italy. Okay, on this day in 1905, Albert Einstein finishes his scientific paper detailing his quantum theory of light, a foundation of modern physics. Yeah, fascinating, isn't it? So 1905 was Einstein's annus mirabilis, his year of miracles. Because I'm not a scientist, sort of wish I were. But I can't understand, or don't understand the maths or the physics, but I do like the history. Fascinated by the history of science. Need to know all about Einstein. Need to know all about Niels Bohr. All of it, all of it. Like, need to know about Newton. Need to know about James Clerk Maxwell. Need to know about, you know, Kepler or whatever. All of it. So, yeah, love the Einstein thing. There's four different papers in 1905. Was that, like, the electromagnetic effect, the Brownian thing about how tiny particles move, special relativity, and the E equals MC squared thing. All in the same year. Four different papers, I believe. Anyway, one of them there was, he finished it on this day in 1905. Some say that at his work at that patent office is that he may have been inspired by other people's ideas. Stroke stole them wholesale. Anyway, Albert Einstein may or may not be a plagiarist. Nonetheless, the official account of history is that Albert Einstein came up with all those ideas himself in a year of miracles. Okay, on this day in 1939, the Battle of Nanchang between the Kuomintang and the Japanese breaks, the Chinese, and the Japanese breaks out during the Second Sino-Japanese War. So yeah, World War II started before 1939, really, didn't it? Didn't it really? I mean, in Britain, the dates are like September 1939, when Mr. Hitler invades Poland and we've had enough and war starts. That's when World War II started. It would have been going on for a while in the East, really. Japanese against the Chinese. Okay. In 1942, Belzec concentration camp opens with the transport of 30,000 Polish Jews from Lublin. Did it? All right. Let's do the Rumble Rants and Super Chats. The Rumble Rants. Here we go. Pigdog5150 sent two in. Okay, and the first one says, the globalists want the Iran war to go badly for Trump. Yeah, they hate Trump. Yeah, yeah. Even the weak-wristed, half-arsed, lip-service attempt to have a country of your own. Any sort of, any tiny slither of patriotism or nationalism or nativism. Even a tiny dog whistle to it, like what Trump does. Not really even doing it, is he? He's not really doing it. But he sort of talks about maybe doing it. Even that, they can't stand and it must be destroyed. As far as globalists are concerned, isn't it? The globalists want the Iran war to go badly for Trump. They want to war, but they don't want it to end quickly. And they want to make Trump look as bad as possible with the economy. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Because someone like Donald Trump isn't truly in their camp, is he? Truly. You know, he'll go to the UN or he'll go to WEF and sort of pour scorn on them for their climate hoax stuff and their open borders immigration thing that is destroying their countries. So they hate him. Pigdog again says, globalists get two birds with one stone, get their long-wanted war with Iran and get Trump to look bad by not assisting. Surprise if they conned the Don into going to war. Industrial military complex making money. Yeah, a number of points you've made there, but yeah. By globalists, do you just mean Israel? Well, they conned him into the war. Quite possibly manipulated him in various ways. All right. Should we look at the YouTube Super Chats? Can you bring it up on my screen, Harry? We had some issues midway through. So, sorry, what's the net result of that? Can you put them on my screen here or no?
Yeah, there's this one.
Just that?
Yeah, the other ones will be on a different page. I'll pull that up in a second, sorry.
Okay, all right. Well, we've got one here in front of me. The first one, guess who it was? Guess who was the first person to send a super chat? Global Church History. Oh, yeah, he loves a bit of it. Cheers, buddy. Cheers. Every day he's first. It's great. Okay, he says, today in 45 BC, Caesar wins Battle of Munda versus Pompey. Lovely. Do you want something in the order of 30 plus hours of me on my own, not with Carl, not in conversation with Carl, just me on my own, over 30 hours of me talking about the life and career of Julius Caesar in insane detail? Basically all the ancient sources, almost word for word, almost reading out and then commenting on all the actual ancient sources about the life of Julius Caesar. Caesar's own account of his conquest of Gaul, Plutarch, a number of others. Do you want that? Behind the paywall on Epochs, lotuseaters.com for as little as £5 a month, bronze tier membership. Hours and hours and hours of me talking about Caesar. The Battle of Munda. Okay, Harry's sorted it out now. Here, brilliant. Cheers, Harry. I've only got a few this morning. Yeah, Global Church History, 45 BC, Battle of Munda. Big one. It's a big one. Caesar versus Pompey. Great stuff. Pompey Magnus, Pompey the Great. And his sons, who died hard. Talk about die hard. Sextus Pompey. Anyway. Battle of Munda, big one. right? It was sort of... Okay, well, I haven't got time to go into it here. Could just talk for an hour there, but I can't. I've got to carry on. Okay. Conrad Fat says, USA is just one of Israel's alt accounts. I mean, if there's a special relationship, it's not between London and DC, is it? It's between Jerusalem and DC. Principled Uncertainty says, Khomeini was out for a walk and got caught in the blast. Why would they appoint a horrifically injured guy, supposedly in a coma, as their new leader? Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Yeah, that's a really good question. If he is in a coma, or terribly wounded, it kind of doesn't make sense that they would pick him to be the new Ayatollah, does it? I mean, stranger things have happened. And if the Ayatollah is only ever really going to be a figurehead and doesn't really control military policy and things, military tactics and strategy, then it wouldn't necessarily matter that he's in a coma. But still, your question is perfectly good and valid. Like, what, that doesn't, it sort of doesn't make sense to our mind, does it? If that's the case. Or it could be that all this reporting that he's terribly wounded and or in a coma is wrong. And what the Iranians are saying, i.e. that he's absolutely fine, he's just in an underground bunker somewhere doing all the business of government, that is true. It could turn out that that's true. And if that is true, then it all makes sense that they picked him. But yeah, you're right. If he was injured in the blast, how does it make sense that they picked him? I thought, yeah, it's weird, isn't it? A couple of things don't seem to make perfect sense or add up perfectly, do they, on the face of it, with all this? Who knows? Or as I said yesterday, I think it was yesterday, the suggestion that there's someone else, some other people, even a group, a gang, a cabal of other people, that they realised that if they argue for and get the comatose Khomeini II to be the new Ayatollah, then the business of government and setting policy and being the leaders of the country will devolve to them. So it's just in this other cabal's interest to make him the Ayatollah, even if he's in a coma, because it means power for them. Who knows? You know, that, maybe that's going on. I feel like maybe that's something like that's going on. But we're not privy to any of like the true behind-the-scenes machinations, are we? So who knows? But no, it's a perfectly valid question, isn't it? Principled Uncertainty. Perfectly valid. Yeah, or it's a lie, or he wasn't caught in the blast in any way, and he's just fine. Probably show him then. Isn't it in your interests, Iran, the Iranian regime, isn't it in your interest to show that he's fine, if he is? I don't know. All right, Krish281 says, Harry doing the troubles in history class sure makes me feel old. Yeah. When I reference stuff all the time, it doesn't seem that long ago, and I ask Harry, and he's like, no, I don't remember that, or I was a little kid at that time. I was like, yeah, it makes me feel old. Makes you feel well old. All right, and the last one for today is Jankus the Great says, good morning, you beautiful Brits. Can America invade Britain yet? Just send some special advisors. All right, thanks for that. All right, well, that's the show. We'll finish at a reasonable time this morning. It has just ticked 4 minutes past 9 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time. You've been watching Breakfast with Bo, the Bo Show. Bo's Breakfast Club, Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, the best among us, my band of brothers and sisters. Thanks for watching. I really do, really, really do appreciate it. Without you, it's nothing. It's nothing. Appreciate it. Try and make the best of their heads. A new day, a new start, a new dawn. You know? When you're young, you feel like you've got endless days. You haven't. Try and make them count. Try and do something valuable with your time. It's not always easy, is it? and you've got a normal adult life and loads of responsibilities and things. You've got to go to work. If you don't, if you've got some spare time, if you've got any sort of time of your own, try and use it wisely. Do something valuable with it if you can. Right then. Till tomorrow morning. Take care.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.